When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast on Talk Sport 2. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, as ever, Steve Harmison, looking back at day two of the first Ashes test match at the Gabba. Day one went completely Australia's way. Day two, well, that went pretty much Australia's way as well. Huge, huge ask for England from here. But myself and Steve Harmison, over the course of the next half an hour, we'll be looking back at all the action and all the incidents here on Following On. Well, if you're listening to this show or watching it on YouTube, you no doubt by now, as I look at my little black book, that Australia have ended the day 196 runs ahead of England's first innings total. Travis Head smashed a century in the last session of play, the fastest Ashes century at the Gabba ever. Shane Warne walked off the field with... Oh, not Shane Warne. David Warner walked off the field with 94, with Shane Warne saying he deserved a century, despite the fact he was bowled from a no ball, caught, dropped at second slip, and there was a missed run out. England took two wickets in two balls, just when you thought they might get into the Australian tail, with a lead of just over 40. Robinson was brilliant, by the way. Travis Head smashed that century to take the game away from them. And England will lose this test match at some point in the next day, maybe two. Labuschagne hit 74, looked very good. And England bowled with a lot of heart, a lot of skill, and absolutely no luck. We can look back at that and some real huge injury concerns and selection quandaries here on Following On, the Ashes, the Inquest on TalkSport 2.
Story of the day.
So, Harvey, wow. I mean, I honestly didn't really know where to start yesterday's show. And I feel the same way today because, of course, at tea, it was all about how unfortunate England had been. They'd been really, really unlucky for much of the day, you know, the bowlers, that is. And then I was thinking, oh, maybe it'll be about the injuries. Stoke pulling up lame, it seemed, at the end of the first session, didn't bowl in the second session. And then Travis Head smashed an 85 ball century. You know, England are going to lose this test match. There's no doubt about that. But where on earth do we start? What is the top line? I cannot work it out. Is it the injuries? Is it the misfortune? Is it the fact that Jack Leach... I didn't even mention Jack Leach. I mean, he's bowled 11 overs and been smashed out of the attack three times. He went for 95. Joe Root was bowling ahead of him towards the end of the day. Michael Vaughan's just written a piece of the Telegraph, or he wrote the piece yesterday saying it was the worst day one for an Ashes campaign ever for England. Well, you could argue with that maybe, and I wouldn't necessarily, but I can't think of a worse 2 days at the start of an Ashes series ever. Can you?
No, I can't. I think even at Brisbane, when I did it, it was we pulled it back a little bit on day two, but... I didn't want to go back to yesterday. England have got a lot of things horrifically wrong.
That's the thing. Let me just stop you there, because 2006, right? I mean, there were some similarities. You know, Duncan Ferguson, he went with Grant Jones, possibly could have gone with Chris Reid. He went with Ashley Giles, definitely should have gone with Monty Panesar. He went with Flintoff as captain. That was not the right idea, but It was probably too early for Strauss. So kind of, and it had to be Flintoff. So there were selection issues there, which I say that there was some parallels to. But that's where the similarities change. I mean, we were beaten out of sight in 2006, okay? But we came up against a truly awesome Australia side. This time around, I can't remember. I mean, everything has gone wrong. Selection, we didn't win the toss in 2006, by the way. We lost the toss. Selection, form, no build-up, dropped chances, no balls, I mean, injuries. I mean, anyway, you talk. I can't work it out.
Yeah, the reason why I said I'll go back to yesterday, and I've been loved. You know, I've been sitting in the studio watching this all night, and I was telling myself before we started, don't talk about yesterday. Don't talk about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Let's move on. But there was something significant that happened yesterday, even though we picked the wrong team and we made the wrong decision at the toss. That last two hours of play yesterday, we lost. I don't think people can comprehend on how important that was in the context of the game and then what happened to us this morning. The context of the game was if England had bowled even for an hour yesterday, got 14 overs in, Australia might have been one down, two down when the ball was doing all sorts last night. So that's something that probably went against England. Now they've come out to bowl this morning, they're cracking the flags, brand new ball. And I thought that they hit their straps, going very, very well. And 1 hour, 55 minutes into that session, which would have been, it should have been a 2 hour session if they hadn't had the extra half an hour, Australia were 57 for one, 23 overs. And then all of a sudden, that last 35 minutes of that session, England didn't implode. But the reason why you bowl first on the wicket that we had yesterday, in the conditions we had yesterday, is you do not want to have too much time on your feet in the baking hot sunshine. Yeah, England didn't have enough preparation time and miles in their legs because of that. And that last 35 minutes was just that little tipping point. Heat, you know, tiredness a little bit from, you know, the exhaustion of the first session. Bowlers getting into their sort of second and third spells. And then all of a sudden, you have to bring Jack Leach on, which normally for a captain, he gets one over before lunch. But unfortunately, we had 35 minutes. You bring him on to bowl. And in Australia score, I think they scored something like 51, 52 in the next seven and a half overs. Because I think they got the wicket. You know, but, and it's like the game's just been, the initiative has just gone away from them. So that's why I'm talking about from yesterday, that things didn't go well for them yesterday. Then you drop a catch with Rory Burns, who, if you remember, rewind 24 hours. First over after lunch yesterday, Haseem Hameed, England were in a position I thought were probably one, two wickets, too many down at lunch, possibly one on the surface in the environment they were playing in. But then all of a sudden, Hameed goes because of a brain fade, moves across and gets nicked off. So then we are staring down a barrel. You know, I was staring down a barrel big time when Hameed goes yesterday at 60 for five. What happens? First over to Deer, cracking the flags, bright hot sunshine, less movement. Things aren't going as well. Rory Burns drops David Warner. Now, David Warner has already tried his hardest to get out many times throughout this day, throughout that first session. And the pendulum switch, the pendulum moves in a way which just starts going away from England. I thought for two sessions today, if anybody, I've just said this on the breakfast show at 9:15 this morning, anybody that's listening that's just got out of bed and seen the score will be throwing things at TVs and going, England aren't very, you know, they would have been saying more than England aren't very good, to be honest. But I'm sorry, I'll defend the three seamers that played. They were magnificent today. Absolutely magnificent. Mark Wood, here's one for you. Mark Wood, the most overs Mark Wood's bowled in a test match innings in his whole career is 20 overs. And we've asked this kid to go and bowl 20 overs today in the heat. Not much preparation going in from miles in your legs. And he's running, and I think his average speed was about 143. You know, he's 90 mile an hour all day. And he had David Warner. I thought David Warner was running scared. I really did. I thought David Warner's foot movement.
I texted you.
I think he was running scared.
I messaged you at lunch, didn't I? I said, was it just me? And I didn't see anything on social media about this. And I said, is it just me? Did Warner look like he was backing away a bit? Not like Shimron Hetmeyer at St. Lucia, who was running away. But he was giving himself space.
He was trying hard to change his trigger. Yeah. His trigger movement changed. He was trying to tell himself not to move because his left foot was going back behind leg stump. Me and Alistair Cook were sitting in the studio, and we were watching that, and we were saying, look, Warner's running. He's not running away.
No.
I'm running scared.
No, he wasn't.
He was probably just staying leg side of the ball because he was bowling quickly.
Yeah.
And he was trying to open up the offside, but it looked as though he had rattled him. He did. He rattled David Warner. And I tell you what, that's no mean feat because this kid is a proper player. Warner's a fantastic cricketer.
Yeah.
And I thought Warner rode his luck.
And also, there's a bit of experience there as well, isn't there? Because Warner's 35 now.
Yeah.
And you know, you get to an age where your hand-eye coordination starts to go just a little bit. And if Warner's 25, he doesn't do that. But he's 35 and he still backs himself, but he's not stupid.
No, he's not. If he deserved 100 for one thing, which was sticking at it, because he could have been out four or five times. I thought Marnus Labuschagne batted really well. I thought he left the ball fantastic. His first 20 balls didn't look to score, left the ball nicely, let the ball come to him, and then he got into the innings and got...
He knows, isn't he?
But he averages 99 at the Gabba.
Exactly.
He just 99
he knew, and he gave it away as well in the end, didn't he?
He did. Well, I thought that was just a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of ego, why you give it away. They were trying. They've got a plan against Leach, which is going to run down a wicket and try and belt him. And, you know, everybody tried that. So I thought Labuschagne batted beautifully. I thought Ollie Robinson was fantastic. Throughout the whole day, I thought he was brilliant. And even at the end, he was bowling at 70 mile an hour, but he was carrying a hamstring injury. He's come back on, and you could see. Give us an idea
of what it's like. I remember Doug Bollinger, you know, almost passing out in the field. Peter Siddle at Adelaide, you know, basically vomiting between deliveries. Pat Cummins at Melbourne a few years ago. You know, and that's one of the reasons why fast bowlers, you know, being a captain and a fast bowler, especially in Australia, I mean, it's brutal, isn't it?
Absolutely brutal. You're doing between, if you had a clock on Mark Wood there, Ollie Robinson and Chris Wokes, their clock will have said, especially what Robinson and Wood, because the field in the deep, you're looking at between 17 and 20 kilometres. That's what they've just done there. They've done nearly a half marathon.
See, that's in the crazy, field, isn't it? But in they, the heat. And they've had no warm-up. Warm-up games.
And no warm-up.
And that's the thing.
Yesterday,
exactly.
Goes back to the toss yesterday. So, and you get two between sort of, what is it? It's between 4 and 8, 10 times your body weight goes through your front foot every single time you let go of the ball. And if you're doing 20 kilometers in, and it was hot.
Yeah.
I looked at Ben Stokes. There was a caption that came on, 67 overs in. And I looked at the monitor to see what the over it was. You know, he's bowled his overs, he's dived around in the field, and, you know, he's chased things to the boundary, hasn't fielded in a competitive game for 6 months. His face was beetroot, bright red. He was well done. He wasn't medium well. He was cooked. No. He's been left on the barbecue for far too long. And that goes back again. I'll keep coming back to the toss because of how underprepared they were. And that's got away from him in the last 2 hours. Travis Head batted brilliantly, right? He batted brilliantly.
Travis Head, I thought, respect to you, because, you know, it was both him and Kerry. It was the game was just about in the balance. It was always going to be, you know, Australia were probably still 80-20, 85-15.
Yeah.
But leading by 40-odd, you got a debutant at the crease and Head, who's only just got in that side ahead of Kawhi Jones, dropped last summer. And for about Well, it was until that Stokes over, actually. Mm. Until that Stokes over, England were holding them, were holding and holding and holding. And then that Stokes over happened. I think it was Head hit three fours, or maybe he hit two and Carey hit one. I can't quite remember. And the game went. It went. But what I was impressed by Head was he got to about, well, first off, he got floored, didn't he? He got mashed on the arm by Wood. But he never changed his game. At no point, it was almost like he thought, I've got this far by playing like this, and I'm just going to play like this.
Yeah,
he went all the way through, and fair play to him.
He was brilliant. He had 6 off 18 balls. He got 51 off 51 balls, and he got, at the end, he had 112 off 95. This is a guy who, I think in 11 innings last year for Sussex, he got 160 runs. He the average 11.
Well, he wanted to get the hell out of Dodge. Yeah, Sussex. There's all sorts going on at Sussex. But again, you talk about Stokes. He pulls up, not lame, but he's done his knee, running to the boundary. Robinson's done his hammy. You know, the lack of match fitness in these players, and they're being asked to bowl 20 odd overs in a Queensland sun, for God's sake. But when you look at the Australian batting order, Harris, he's been playing Sheffield Shield for a month. Labuschagne, he's been playing at the Gabba for a bloody month. Yeah. Smith and Warner have both been in UAE, batting for Australia. Green's been playing for Western Australia. Carey's been playing.
Head's just got and a
Head,
double
100. And Head is in the side because he's been smashing everyone everywhere. They've been playing cricket. I know they haven't had a week or two, but they've been playing cricket. You've got a team that have been playing cricket against a team that has not been playing cricket. And the team that's been playing cricket has been playing cricket at home, and they're batting. And when they were bowling, they were relying on three bowlers that have just been playing T20 cricket. Now, you take Stark to the third session, you know, or the third spell rather, and Hazelwood and Cummins, it's a different story. But that first spell, they were always going to be bang on it. With a little bit of luck, that first delivery from Stark disappears to the boundary, and suddenly you've got maybe Mitchell Johnson at Lord's. But we're going back to the toss again, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. But if you look at it yesterday afternoon, I looked at a picture of Mitchell Stark. He had bowled 12 overs, and he looked like Ben Stokes did at tea time today. He was knackered. He was. Yeah. He was cooked. He was done. He was done. But to carry on from what you've just said, you've just named the top seven. But then you've got Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins have just won the World T20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's it.
And you only win tournaments like that. You know, batsmen set the games up, but the bowlers win your games.
Yeah.
And they've just won the games for the World T20. And if anybody looked as though they were a bit rusty, and he hasn't played much, and that was Nathan Lyon, and he did look rusty. So you're probably looking at one player in their side who looked as though he was a little bit out of sorts. But today, you know, Trevor's Head, you know, he had the scary ball at the end, which fortunately...
Yeah, geez, that glove. Was a worrying moment. I know, it's a glove. Was,
yeah,
it
hit his glove and then hit his chin.
And also, fair play, his reaction as well, I thought...
It was brilliant.
Jesus, man, you wouldn't blame him if he was like up on his feet going, what the hell was that? But he didn't. It was almost the first thing he wanted to say was, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Smith,
Warner, Labuschagne have got the gloves off, helmet off, and they're getting Mark Wood banned for a week.
Yeah.
I thought Travis Head was brilliant. One thing I will say about what possibly could happen for Mark Wood there, they bought the new balls, the brand new balls, the lacquer on them. Oh, it is slippy. And some bowlers don't like bowling with a brand new ball. Not defending it. It was a reckless ball.
And Wood's reaction told its own story. Yeah,
exactly. So I think all in all, not much. You can't really be positive about what position England are in. I remember. Yeah, to sort of change. It's not change the subject. To put in a different way. A massive Newcastle United supporter. They played Norwich a week ago, 10 days ago. We had a man sent off after 10 minutes and drew 1-1. it was an unbelievable performance, but it was a poor result because we were playing Norwich City, who are down at the bottom and are at home. Newcastle needed to win. At this minute in time, England are miles away in this test match. Miles away in this test match. But there was a lot of positives today out of England's bowlers. You know, the three bowlers that were on show today, I thought were fantastic. The spin bowlers, well, if you look at it, you put Leach, Root, and then you put the fourth bowler, you put that in the equation, 26 overs for 164. Yeah, Leach bowled 11 overs for 95. That tells you everything. And I hate to say I told you so, but when people were shouting at me and saying, what are you on about? Ben Stokes batting at number three and playing four seamers. That's exactly why I wanted Ben Stokes to bat number three and play four seamers, because today told me everything about it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our spin bowler is not going to be in the equation for five test matches, possibly not even at Sydney. We're going to need four seam bowlers who can bowl 20-odd overs each, who are durable and try and hit a pitch hard and hit lines and lengths. And as the series goes on, you drip feed Stokes' bowling in, because his body tells you he hasn't played or been around cricket enough in the last 6 months. Even the superhuman Ben Stokes, with the layoff he's had, to hit the ground running with the impact he needs to hit. So get him batting, drip feed his bowling in, and get miles in his legs in the field and get him progressing into this series. Because you know what, John? Today could put him back a hell of a lot weight. Because if his knee pulls up sore and he's carrying it for the next five test matches, and we've drained him and it's been a long, hard, arduous day in the field, that could knock the next three or four days leading into the next test match, because he's stiff and sore and he can't prepare, can't recover. Look, yeah, I just think, like you said right at the very top, for 2 days now, our selectors, our thought process, and a lot of our game plans have been the complete polar opposite to what a lot of people who have played the game would have been saying right from the start. This is what needs to happen. England have just gone the other way.
Moment of the day.
Well, moment of the day for me pretty much dips into the point you just made. Ben Stokes. It was a misfield as well, wasn't it? It was hit to mid-off. Stokes misfielded it. And in his desperation to go and get the ball before it reached the boundary, he did something to his knee. And they picked up on the TV very quickly. And I saw it immediately. I'm sure you did. He just kind of pulled up. And that is a huge problem. You know, for all of what you say about the fact that, you know, England played well today, we go to Adelaide. Hamid opens. Burns opens. Milan is three. Root is four. Stokes is five. Pope is six. And Butler seven. That ain't changing.
No.
What's changing is the bowlers. Because, and we'll talk about this in what will happen tomorrow and all that stuff. But if Anderson's fit, well, then he comes in. Broad has to play. This is exactly the same situation we've had on both occasions that Broad has been left out of the first test of the series. He comes back in. Now, okay, Robinson might not be fit, but he should play, and he probably will. And then they'll be trotting out, well, Wood can't do that two tests in a row. They'll drop Leach, but, you know, and then I don't know what they do with the Wokes. But the Stokes thing, that could well be the moment of the day, moment of the series. I mean, why was he bowling? I mean, why was he bowling in that final session? It seemed like England had Australia. They just about had them. And then they just tried to get through 15 overs to the new ball.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are you doing? You haven't got you don't have the freedom to just give up 30 runs here. You've got to just take wickets. Robinson went off. Then suddenly Stokes is bowling. I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the two injuries, which one concerns you most, Robinson or Stokes?
That's a great question. Stokes, because I think we could have a game without Robinson and still get by. I don't think we can have a game without Stokes. I really don't. I think his presence on the field, if we have a game without Stokes, it's one game less. He is getting better. Ben Stokes is going to get better throughout the series because he hasn't played for a long, long time, and he will. Yeah, he needs time to on his feet to get better. Where Robinson, he probably wasn't going to play five test matches anyway. So if he has a week off, goes into Melbourne, and then plays the rest of the way through, then I think he was going to miss one of the games anyway. The conundrum for me, and again, something else that's happened today, and I don't want to keep kicking the selectors and what's going on with that, but about three or four of the squad members of Australia played for Australia here today. Khawaja played, Shrepson played. There's a couple others that had a game. Don Best was the only one that played from an England point of view. Why didn't Overton play? Why is Crawley not playing? You know, why is Bairstow not playing? Why is Anderson and Broad not bowling one innings each in that game? You know, these things, I just don't understand why, if you've got an ear game there starting the day after, why are we not making sure that our bowlers have got, our players have got time on their feet? Do you know what the stupid thing is about this whole situation? Everybody says, Bumble, big one said, you know, Parkinson. Why we might need Parkinson. Why is Parkinson not in that squad? I'm not saying pick Parkinson, but Dom Best has gone and played instead of Parkinson in the ear game that's gone on today. So the one player that you potentially could pick left field and think, right, from a spin bowler's point of view, because our left arm spin bowler has gone for 95 off 11. You know, who's next cab off the rank? Dom Best. Well, a gentle off spinner in these conditions might just see the same outcome of what. So have we got a spin bowler that can turn the ball both ways in Australia? Yes, Parkinson. But we've got an ear game and we didn't pick him. So he hasn't had a game either. So, look, I'm perplexed about what goes on inside the brain cells of what is, you know, the England management team and what they try to do. Do they try and tick too many boxes?
They're the same hand, they're trying to be too clever.
Yeah, of course they are.
But then they're missing complete. His own goals. They're trying to score on the half volley from 35 yards, but at the same time, like they're hitting own goals from a corner. I mean, it's
pick your best team.
Well, just
pick your best team for the game that's in front of you. Best team in the game in front of you is this one that's just being played. Then go to Adelaide and pick your best team for that one. But for me, when I go on moment of the day. For me, the moment of the day, and I'm going to kick him again, and I've kicked him quite a regular, that catch Rory Burns drop, that's a game changer. Not a game changer in winning game changer, but that's a day changer. That goes down, Steve Smith's in, bowler's got the tails up after just having 40 minutes on their backside. They knock Smith over, all of a sudden, you've got Head coming in, Green's next. It's a different session, that middle session. And England bowled really well in that middle session. Can you imagine what they would have done if that catch had been took and Davey Warner had gone first over? For me, that was the moment of the day, in my opinion.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
What is going to happen tomorrow, Harmy? This game could end day three, couldn't it? I'd say it's probably favourite too. The weather's not going to get involved.
No, if the weather doesn't get involved, I think it finishes tomorrow. I really do. And that is a horrible thing for me to even think about for when the series goes on. England get beat by an innings. And the also, same old story of 06, 7, 13, 14, all over again. I think it really concerns me. Because I worry about our bowling.
At times today, when you consider the amount of luck, you've played enough cricket to know that there are days when every edge is taken, every 80-20 or 20-80 catch is taken, you know, every marginal LBW decision is goes your way. And then there's days when the reverse is true. And at times in that first session, actually for the first two sessions, I was watching it, I was thinking, there's not that much between these two sides in terms of the bowlers, right? Because our bowlers, I thought, performed brilliantly today and they just did not have any luck. False shot percentage, this new thing that's come through, suggested that Australia had more false shots today than England did yesterday for those first two sessions. But England, every single thing went against him today. He didn't. And I was watching, I was thinking, Australia are not a great side. And if you get pressure on them, They will buckle. But we're essentially a toss away from losing the Ashes inside two tests, basically.
Yeah, basically. Because if we don't win the toss there, and that'll be an intriguing bowling lineup, that, because if you're going down the road of Broad, Anderson, possibly Robinson, seem probably end up having to play Wokes because of his batting, or you might have to play Overton because of his batting. Because I think that's the only reason Wokes is playing.
Yeah, it is.
Because of his batting, more than anything else, because they don't trust Robinson at number eight. But England have got to somehow find a way of spending 80 overs at the crease, even if it's in a losing effort. They've got to find a way of spending 80 overs at the crease. In 2005, we could talk about setting tones and things like that. When we went out, we got beat by an innings, but we left Lords as a team thinking we've got a chance to beat Australia because we took 20 wickets. If England get bowled out in 40 overs, 50 overs again, then all of a sudden England leave Brisbane going into a day-night game on a 50-50 toss with a pink ball that swings around, not being able to bat for a long period of time. So even if they get beaten this team, they've got to get through 80 overs somehow tomorrow to give themselves a little confidence booster to say, right, we can bat, we can spend time against this attack on the surface over here and we'll get better. If they get bowled out for less than 200 inside 60 overs, I fear where this could end up for England.
Do you think that they give this game up? I thought they should, you know, in a weird way, you know, like when a team's just scoring unnecessary runs, like we just saw with India, New Zealand. And basically, this is the thing, when Ben Stokes was bowling and 65 overs gone, I was just thinking, we'll just pull him out. Let's just give this one up, right? We've lost the game. Tomorrow, when England bat, they just go, right? They target line like Australia targeted Leach. Okay, that's what they do. And they're going to get out and it might not work, but they just have a plan. If they try and block this out for 2 days, I'm just going to lose a will. They've got to come out and try and be positive intent. You know, that surely they've got to try something. Because at the end of the day, the Adelaide test starts on Friday. Yeah. We're losing the game, but if you can at least give Australia a bit of a quandary about whether to rotate one of their fast bowlers, you know, or you just target Stark. Forget Cummins, forget Hazelwood, right? They're both going to play Adelaide, right? You get in that dressing room and you say, sod this, we're going to lose a game, but we're going to smash the hell out of Nathan Lyon and Mitchell Stark on day three. I don't care who's in, just do it.
I wouldn't have a problem with that if the plan was there and they're set up to do it in a calculated where in execution is everything. I would like to see England, like I said before, I want to see England bat for 80 overs. If England bat for 80 overs, they get some score in the region of 275.
Yeah.
In between 275 and 300, if they bat 80 overs. Now, that is making Australia bat again. You just never know. If Australia have to bat and get 120, there's no reason why England, as long as Robinson pulls up, fine. There's no reason why England can't bowl Australia out for 120 on a fourth day pitch at the Gabba, because they've got batting frailties as well if we get them in early with this ball, and you wouldn't have to use your fourth and fifth bowler, because 120 is 28, 30 overs, and your three seamers will get you through that. Not a problem at all. So I just want to see England bat for a long period of time, whether it's calculated risks, go at Mitchell Starc, have a plan for Nathan Lyon, be proactive and positive, whichever way it is. I just want to see it happen tomorrow and have a plan to do that. And if they can do it, you never know. One thing we have seen on this wicket, if you get in, you can score, and you can score relatively quickly. We've got positive players that can score relatively quickly. So, it's earning the right. And I say this till I'm blue in the face. I always say it when I'm on commentary. You've got to earn the right to score runs, which means you withstand the good spell from the bowler. You get him into his second spell. When he tires out, you cash in. And that has been that for far too long, with the exception of Joe Root in the last 2 years. That's what England haven't done. Can I see it changing? I don't think anything in the first innings showed me that there are signs for improvement.
57 runs in the first hour and 55 of today. 80 runs in the second session. 150 in the third session. That tells you all you need to know. Stick it out and it will come good. We didn't see that from England on day one, did we? But you just stick it out and it will come
underprepared.
Good.
Underprepared. Yeah, underprepared. Tech bowlers into their last spell because they haven't had miles in their legs. Underprepared. They're not robots. There's a human element to it. That was always going to happen. That's why last night was really crucial that England had a bowl.
Right, we'll be back on following on the Ashes, the inquest on TalkSport 2 and social media. It's been an astonishing first 2 days. I've seen a lot of bad England performances against Australia in Australia over the last 40-odd years.
So have I.
Some, not all of which included Steve Harmison. Oh, man. I love it, but I hate it at the same time. Let's see what we talk about. Let's see what we're talking about this time tomorrow. Harmy, as ever, it's been brilliant. You've been listening to Following on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.